Sue me, I'm rooting for everybody that's black. Yeah. Yeah. Sue me, I'm rooting for everybody that's black. Yo. Look. Sue me, I'm rooting for everybody that's black. Smack bout two racks on handmade new rags. Sue me, I'm rooting for everybody that's black. That's everybody from sports to college class to rap and back.
Yeah. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of the Euro Sports Show. It is your boy, Big Baby, aka the Solo R&B. To my right, we have BK Matt. And to my further right, we have the Queen, Queen Tay.
Sorry, man, bro, we somber like a motherfucker today, ain't we?
It's also, it's a lot. It's a lot going on. Yeah, had to change the overlay up a little bit, let people know we're serious.
facts.
But yeah, welcome back to another episode of the Euro Sports Show. As you guys probably saw in the beginning, again, before we get into anything, we lost Chadwick Boseman last night to his battle with cancer that a lot of us didn't even know he was going through.
All of us
definitely didn't know. Rest in peace to him. Our condolences on behalf of the Jabba Tate Network and the Euro Sports Show go to him and his family. Our condolences go out to Cliff Robinson's family. We just found out this morning that Cliff Robinson passed away, which is
mind blowing.
Like I said, one of the NBA greats who you know, not many people, if you don't really know too much basketball, you won't know who Cliff Robinson is, but bro was a dog for them Rip City Blazers for sure. So definitely rest in peace to him, and condolences to his family. And on a happier note, happy birthday to one half of the world's greatest tag team, Shantice.
Stop calling them that.
They are.
Happy birthday, Shantice.
And team Matt, team Shantae.
Happy birthday, Shantice.
I think Shantice wants you to sing for her. For her birthday, Matt.
It's not happening.
You have to sing, you have to take your durag off and show your braids, your dreads. You gotta go full performer mode.
I'm good.
What's good, Quest?
What's up, Quest? Thank you for coming on after the year last week too, by the way.
Yes, yo, definitely. That was fun. Let's jump right into it. So we're gonna start with a little bit of sports, but Dame Lillard is done for the playoffs, y'all. It's gonna basically be a cakewalk from here for the Lakers for the next game. But
some bullshit. That's what it is. Some bullshit. It's luck.
Dame is done. Definitely done for the playoffs, which is insane, but Quest said we made him invest into a little stream setup. Yeah, shout out to you,
bro. A tripod like Dre got. Dre got like 9 different tripods.
Only got two. But yeah. How do you think everything's gonna turn out for the? Well, we kind of know how everything's gonna turn out, but the Blazers. How they did in this bubble, and you know, we're pretty much writing them off, but you know,
yeah, you can never write off Melo though,
right?
You can't.
I'm writing them off. That's another dead issue. I ain't even gonna get hype. Like, don't get me wrong, I like CJ McCollum, I like Nurkic, even though Nurkic kind of disappointed me a good portion, like from game 2-3.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like the same energy or the, like he had for game one, it evaporated quickly. Anthony Davis and JaVale McGee and all of them, they were beating his ass, mm-hmm. and it showed, and that weighed a lot on him clearly because he was underperforming as far as offensively. Look, I said six games, and clearly this is going to be done in five. And I'm more disappointed because I thought it would be a lot more entertaining and a lot more competitive than it actually turned out being. Mm-hmm. But I mean, what can you do, man? Like, Melo still somewhat played like Melo. I mean, he had 20 the other night. I mean, granted, but I just hope after this bubble game, after this bubble thing, that Melo gets another chance and Dame Lillard gets the respect that he deserves. So okay. I mean, that's pretty much all that it was when it came down to us talking about the Trailblazers. It's more or less Melo deserves more respect than what he's been getting, and he needs another shot at it, especially to get another ring. Hopefully he might get that shot. Hopefully he re-signs with the Trailblazers, honestly. But Dame is a problem. He's been a problem. I've been saying he's been a problem for fucking years. You saw it firsthand in the bubble. Put some more respect on that man's name.
Yep, I agree.
That's all I'm saying. Put some more respect on that man's name.
Ow. Hey, Shawan, how are you?
So,
I hope all is well.
Yeah. So, the playoffs will be coming back. But we'll bring up the playoffs back in a little moment. Roman Reigns. Yo.
About fucking time.
I mean, Roman Reigns.
Really? I mean, I think this was the perfect time to pull that trigger. Mm-hmm. I think that he had gotten at least 5 years under his belt is trying to be the resident superhero. You know what I'm saying? And I think that it's time for them to kind of take an alternate route with him. You know? We can't definitely say that he's a heel.
Right.
We just know that the pairing with Paul Heyman is something that's going to be amazing for him during this run. And I'm excited to see how this goes. I don't know necessarily how it looks on a SmackDown roster because a lot of their main guys are bad guys.
Yeah, that's one of the things too about that.
Because Braun is a bad guy now.
Mm-hmm.
Like the
Fiend is anti-hero, so you don't know whatever
the main unless that's going to be the Big E thing,
which they're probably building to. So
you're kind of fucking right. Like I think the biggest face that they got is Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, and you know I don't think that.
What can I say, bro?
Say nothing when it comes to that.
I would like to see it on Raw, him and Drew. That would have been good.
Yeah.
That would have been good. But
can I just say that I'm extra excited that there's not gonna be a Drew McIntyre match on Sunday? I'm just saying, like I'm looking forward to seeing Keith Lee versus Randy Orton. I'm ecstatic about it.
I'm not going over. I think that Randy is doing such, you know, when you talk about somebody who is underrated,
mm-hmm.
he needs to be there needs to be some respect on his name. Because I think he's the last one standing from that. We're not gonna do that disrespect to Jeff Hardy today. When you talk about the Cenas, the Brocks, the Batistas, Randy came up in that same class. He's the only one still standing, and still standing consistently.
I'm just saying Randy was better than all of them, except for John Cena.
Probably. He set the bar. But, you know, the thing is, I think that he should have spent his whole career as a bad guy.
The entire career, right?
His entire career. He's not good to me. I mean, he's still great. But I feel like his personality shines through a lot more when he's evil.
Hold up. So you don't think when he first was a face, like when he first left Evolution, he wasn't like, you know, you wasn't behind him? Because I ain't going to hold you. I was in the crowd.
I was behind him. Don't get me wrong. I was behind him. Mind you, I really wasn't watching at that time. But to me, his voice, his vernacular, the things that he says, it says, oh, bad guy.
Yeah. And that's kind of true, too.
Same with Triple H.
Yeah, but Triple H did a good job as a good guy, too. That feud that he had with Orton leading up to the WrestleMania 25, mm-hmm. when, you know, Orton mm. had his whole family, for you guys as a man, you want him to go and defend his family. You get what I'm saying? So I don't see the same with Triple H, but I think Randy Orton needs some more respect put on his name. Because for 17, 18 years, he's apart from injury, mm-hmm. he's been somebody that the industry can rely on to put on those great matches and tell those great stories. And that's kind of what's missing.
Yeah.
As far as that class in ring work, there's nobody touching him. John Cena is just more successful as financial standings and being mainstream. But Randy Orton is the bar when it comes to wrestling.
He used to be more aerial, but I guess injuries weighed him down. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the things that he's done and how he's been able to reinvent himself so many times, you know what I'm saying, and have his character still be relevant. You know, I think that it goes to say that he needs his flowers while he's still around. He's still young. He's just 40.
Yeah, that's true, too.
He's amazing.
I liked the feud with him and Kofi when Kofi was champion, too. It was kind of dope. Because it was like
a story.
It was like a resurface. It was like a resurface rehash from, you know, the first time, you know, Kofi mm-hmm. was getting that push. So,
Randy Orton brings out the best. You know, they don't really talk about him. He brings out the best in almost everyone he's worked with. And he's grown with us in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree with y'all.
He's a third generation superstar. I think he's the youngest world heavyweight champion. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, these are things that we can't sneeze at when it comes to Randy.
Yeah, I agree with everything you guys said, honestly.
And I agree with the best work.
Yeah. He's a GOAT.
Yeah.
Sadiq says Randy has been stale. Only person to reinvent it applies to Jericho. I don't agree with that, but we can have a whole episode on that too. But
because he's thinking about the punting and the legend killer shit. But
don't worry about that.
Go ahead.
It's fine. I got it. So August 26th, one of the biggest dates in history. One of the biggest dates in the history of sports. All major U.S. sports decided to boycott their games that day. MLB, hockey, baseball. I mean, I said baseball. MLB, basketball, hockey, WNBA. All decided to boycott their games due to the brutal shooting of Jacob Blake. For those who don't know, Jacob Blake is a young black man who with children and a family, was breaking up a fight between two young women. And when the police came, he was going in the car to check on his kids, and the police shot him in his back 7 times. This happens too much, where unarmed black men are just getting shot by the damn police. And I know what people are going to say, or what Ben saying, or like stupid people like Brian Urlacher, oh, he had a knife and he did this, that, and third.
Well, they didn't know that when they shot him.
Right. They didn't know that when they shot him.
And I think Brian Urlacher is tripping, and I think he needs to sit down.
All the way down.
Did they shoot the white dude that was like walking past the cops shooting that fucking protesters? Did they shoot him? Fuck out of here. I'm gonna fuck with Brian, man.
No. No, absolutely not. Nope. They definitely didn't. They most certainly didn't. They just let him mosey on by.
I don't even think we're going to be able to have like the moment, like the clarity to like be like PC about a lot of this shit. Because it's a nerve. It's a real nerve.
It's not about being politically correct, right? Mm-hmm. It's about we don't need when people go low, mm-hmm. we don't need to go lower.
Right.
We could be real without mm-hmm. being offensive.
For sure.
It's like I always say about myself, I'm not always right, but I'm always real.
Right. That's it's true. Like that's the only way to really put it. Like we're not gonna be offensive and disrespectful to anybody, but we're gonna tell the truth and tell it how it is.
Yeah, like, it's far from our purview. Because yeah. not everybody sees it from our purview, and that's what the problem is.
Right. And it's just it doesn't make sense why this keeps happening. And what's not making even more sense, well, actually, before we get into that, how do you guys feel about the players in these sports walking out? I'm gonna start with you, Tay.
I think that it's really powerful
mm-hmm.
because when you're a public figure, right, mm-hmm. you have a couple of options as to how to stand up for equality and how to stand against brutality. And one of them mm-hmm. is using your platform to try to enact change the best way that you could. You right. get what I'm saying? So mm-hmm. I think that after George Floyd, right,
yeah,
there was no way that these sport people, that these sports athletes could have heard about this and let it slide.
Right.
I think that it's a show of unity because it happens across all major league sports.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is really important. And I think that athletes are doing what mm-hmm. politicians are not.
Right.
And what we appoint politicians to do.
Right. I agree. Matt, your thoughts?
All right. I'm gonna start with the narrative of what I've been hearing a good portion of this week when the first announced that everybody was, you know, taking a stand and they was going to boycott the games. They're athletes. What is not playing going to do as far as creating change? I'm gonna start with that.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. They're athletes. They're public figures. They mm-hmm. inspire kids. They inspire a generation of people to take a stand in things that they believe in. So that's what boycotting games does for public change. Mm-hmm. All right? Granted, they decided that they were going to resume the playoffs and they were going to play.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. It's quick, but at the end of the day, it served its purpose.
Right.
But you see why they went back so quick, right?
I know why they went back so quick. Yeah. I understand it. Right? But I think we had this conversation like not too long ago when we was talking about Steven Jackson and Kyrie Irving, right? And Steven Jackson was more or less on the fact of he thinks that we shouldn't play because mm-hmm. it takes eyes away from the movement. There's no bigger setting and platform right now than the NBA playoffs. And the fact that they said for Jacob Blake to get shot 7 times in front of his kids, they said, fuck this. When are we going to matter? I'm not playing.
Right.
Basketball is way bigger than basketball right now.
Yeah.
It's bigger than the NBA playoffs. It's been bigger than everything that we got going on right now.
And it will always be.
Yep. So one of the questions, I want you to answer this, Tay, because Shay asked this.
Yeah, well, they went back quick because there was a plan and put in place where most of the NBA owners in major market cities allowed for their stadiums and like Madison Square Garden, Barclays Center to be used as polling places for the upcoming elections, because one of the biggest issues that came out of this was the voting suppression issue, that people feel like, you know, their votes are going to be suppressed for this election. You see what's going on with the USPS. You know, let's look at the fix is in. You get what I'm saying? The fix is trying to be in. So they're like, if we don't give these people their absentee ballots or a place to vote, they're not going to vote. So what made like players like LeBron and the major players feel comfortable was that they're going to open up like Barclays Center, like Madison Square Garden as polling places for people who don't have a place to vote. So I think that that was the bargaining chip as to why they went back so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Let me answer Sadiq thing, but in one day they decided to play again. It took longer than one day. It took 2 days of meetings. They had meetings amongst themselves. They had meetings with the NBA owners. They have had meetings with all the top wigs. And again, it's bigger than just the players talking to the owners. These owners have political ties.
Yes, and political power.
So this is what I'm saying. Y'all got to think beyond just, they stopped playing and they decide to play 2-3 days. No, a lot of shit happens that they won't put out in media. Right. Why? Because they control the narrative. That's you have to understand that.
And we always say this. Mm-hmm. We always say this.
Because shout out to Giannis and all of them for stepping up and doing what they did.
Because now all of a sudden, let me tell you something too. Let me tell you how the fix is in real talk. There's been shootings in Brooklyn and New York City for years, right? Mm-hmm. Now, because of the narrative about defund police and police brutality, why all of a sudden now we're seeing in these lower income areas that there's more reports of shootings and killings? This has happened for years. You know what I'm saying? But now the media wants us to believe that because we want, or some people want to defund the police, that we need the police now more than ever. They're leaking stories to the press to make the circumstances look worse than they really are. Mm-hmm. So don't believe the hype. And then now it took a lot of power. It shows you the power that the athletes had, because they came up with a solution in less than 48 hours. That's the power of using your voice as a celebrity. That's the power. They could enact change more than I could for where I stand. I can only talk.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I don't have access to a billionaire, you know, team owner on my speed dial.
Right.
I feel like they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. Black, white, Spanish, indifferent, whoever supports this movement.
Again, y'all saying hurt their profits. They did. Imagine what 2 days of 6 games not being played cost TNT and ESPN and ABC. In the NBA, in the NFL, and the Major League Baseball, the National Hockey League, the Women's National Basketball Association. You got to think about all these sports that did not play for the last 48 hours and some that are not playing till this very day. So you have to understand, it's bigger
than basketball. Sports. And it's the thing not is, just
basketball, it's bigger than sports.
And look at it too. Now there's no fans in the stands. Where are they getting all that revenue and money from? They're depending on people watching the sports that's on TV. It's advertising dollars. So it's hurting their pockets more than it's hurting the players' pockets. It's hurting the networks. It's hurting the league. Because you have to pay way more for ads now, because they're operating under the assumption that they're having more people's eyes on it because people are not in the stands.
This is true.
At the end of the day, if you're getting, and going to Sadiq's point, if you're getting progress, right, why would you still hold out? Right now, it's like, okay, we did this, you did this. Now, in the event that you're not holding up your end of the bargain, we can sit the fuck down again.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to play chess with these people. And if you don't see that, then you're going to be angry the rest of this podcast.
Thanks. And, So, just going through some of the comments here.
They're all saying the same thing. You got to hit their pockets, and that's pretty much what they did. Again, TNT, ABC, ESPN, NBA, all these leagues are relying on them playing. Just 2 days of them not having any content to be put out there hurt their pockets more ways than none. Y'all have to understand that. Yeah, it'll hurt them in the long run if we held out more games and more days. Granted, there's other organizations that are not in. Oh, he's talking about black. Right. Support black. You got to support black organizations and black companies and black products. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, but you know what? 100% agree with you. Too.
Because
let me tell you something. We know that the fix is in the systemic racism.
Right.
We as a people need to treat each other better too. We have to give ourselves something to look forward to. We have to treat us the way we want. Why do we want white people to treat us in a way that we won't treat each other? Let's be real. Let's be real. Yeah, I want to support black businesses. Yes, I want to support my people. Yes, I do everything that I can on a daily basis to uplift my people and all people. You get what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it starts from that broken generational curses that we have to break. It's generational curses that keep us the way we are. The crabs in the barrel mentality that we perpetuate generation after generation after generation. That's a problem too. The fix is in. We know this. But why are we still falling for the same traps? Yeah, we got to hit them. Yeah, we have to hit them in their pockets where it hurts. Yeah, we know that we're influential people. Yes, we know we drive culture. Yes, we know we drive this. You know what I'm saying? But they have to have a leverage. Look, you give us this, we'll play again. But if this happens again, look what we could do. Period. But we have to stick together. We have to create our own wealth. We have to create our own streams. We can't continue to kick black people when they're down either. And then when we see our athletes who are standing up for the cause, we have to support them. We have to support them.
This is 100% fact.
This is what, you know, Kaepernick did this 4 years ago.
And we shitting on, a lot of people shitting on him.
And now everybody's like, oh, he was right. Now, 4 years later, come on, man. The fix is in. We can't stick together. It's a mentality like that, Sadiq, why we are where we are. It's the mentality like that. Someone will always try to get over. That's not the truth. That goes for all races, because somebody in the comment just said, I didn't catch his name, that he's been treated by trash by his own too. People are shitty. Let's be real.
It's not just all, you say black people cannot stick together. It's a human race thing. It's more it's than just black thing. People.
But
it's
we like, but the thing is, we face the most detriment for it, because we're in a country that's not ours. You know, when I see a young black woman, a young black man trying to come up in this game, or even a young white person, you know, who feels that they want to help with the cause, I'm all for it. But it starts with, we got to get our communities to vote. We got to support our businesses. We got to see what Jacob, what Blake did. He got shot for it. He broke up a fight between two women. I break a fight all the time.
Shit, that could have been me. It's nothing you do say. That shit is aggravating. That's not a way to live, bro. Like, nothing you can do, nothing you do is safe. You can't go to the corner store, get Skittles. You can't just sleep in your own room.
Police need community relations training. Period. They are put, and we talked about this before, these are guys with no urban experience put in the worst areas after waiting maybe 4 or 5 years to join the police force, only getting training for 6 to 9 months. I live in Brownsville, sweetheart, so don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, we know all this. Okay, we know the history. We need to act. The test is now. We need to continue to act.
It's not saying that there's nothing wrong with learning. There's nothing wrong with learning.
For the people who are listening and not
I'm sorry.
Watching. You're good. You're good.
I hate people who listen, the comments when I'm making a point, because when I'm making a point and I see the comments, it takes me off of what I'm trying to say.
Yes. My bad about that. I just wanted to get to this one. In order to, Andre Walden said, and shout out to him, in order to get a greater understanding of the systematic racism that has existed, we must educate ourselves. I'm gonna suggest a good read by The Color of Law by Dr. Richardson Rothstein, I believe. It paints a vivid picture of how residential segregation screwed Black folks out of wealth for years in terms of housing and economic opportunities.
Of course so
for
it those, has.
For those.
Redlining existed for decades. That's how Detroit was devastated. And it happens in every major city. Every major city is built the same. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where the poorest of the poor, which is quote unquote the Black, always live to the east of the city center. Where do we all live? We live east from Manhattan. Why? Systemic racism. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah. So a little bit more on the the sports side of it. What is this? Aaron Boone, former Yankee great, manager of the current set of Yankees that we have. He was on the podium after the game with the Mets yesterday. And before the game with the Mets, I believe that's today, but he was on the podium and he was speaking about everything that's going on. And for those who don't know, Aaron Boone and his wife adopted two Black children. So when he was asked about everything that was going on, Aaron Boone broke down and started crying on the podium. So as a, for him as a white man to watch the things that's going on and knowing that he has kids coming up that are African-American and that could be going through the same things he's going through. I mean, not him, but the same things, most of us are going through. It's just, it's heartfelt. It's sad to see that our kids coming up could possibly still be going through the things that we went through, that our parents went through, that our grandparents went through not too long ago. It's a lot. But then we have people like Stephen A. Smith who have been tap dancing around a lot of topics. Tay, please get on what exactly Stephen A has been saying so far.
Yeah, so what happened was when the players had the meeting about the situation and trying to go into their walkouts. LeBron, they said, went on a 15-minute rant about, why they shouldn't play, they should cancel the whole season, and how he supports Giannis. And after that meeting, instead of talking about the change that came out of that meeting, Stephen A. Smith got on Twitter, and was talking about how, the younger players got turned off by what LeBron was saying, because LeBron said that he's looking out for the players that are beneath him.
Hold on, what?
Yeah. But I don't think that it came out the way he intended it for it to come out. When he said players under him, he meant under him, not beneath him.
Right. The players coming up.
The players coming up beneath his rate. You know what I'm saying?
Am I like Trae Young? The Trae Young?
Guys, yeah. But, let's be real. 90%, 95% of the league is beneath LeBron as far as skills are concerned. So, boom. But secondly, I'm just being real.
Yeah, we go with this.
Continue on.
Go ahead.
But at the end of the day, instead of talking about the progress, the first thing Stephen A. Smith, one of the well-known Black media personalities, he talks about the bitchy gossip and not about the point at hand. That type of talk is dangerous, because I'm pretty sure that those players wanted a more united front to come out to the media instead of somebody's feelings getting hurt because LeBron yelled at them for 15 minutes. So then another thing, keep that same energy, because the shit that Jordan was yelling at his teammates about paled in comparison to Black Lives and people getting shot in the back. That's why it's important. But LeBron,
LeBron is trying to motivate a whole league. Jordan was trying to motivate his team.
Yeah.
And again, it's not a LeBron or Jordan debate at all, because that can go on forever. But when it comes to talking about things like this, LeBron has been one of the front runners in trying to get change. One of the most in front of the line athletes that we had to, you know, to promote change. Now, Stephen A. Smith has gone on both sides of the argument for the longest time. Yeah. And like we said, that's the problem, because, like I said, you're basically dividing everybody. You're dividing us. Yeah, you're dividing us. Like it like you have a platform to help unite us. Why would you divide us, bro? Like, why? Matt, your thoughts on Stephen A?
I personally didn't really hear his comments, but that I guess honestly, when it comes to like you know, media such as like Stephen A or Skip Bayless, I take some of the things they do at face value, because I know it's to do what we all do in a sense, and it's to spark debate, spark comments, get clicks, or get attention. So I mean, I take it at face value. When he does the messy shit, you know, again, that's what that's for. But when it comes to him and I guess tap dancing, I don't know. Like I said, I literally just take some of the things he say at face value. It is what it is. It don't shake or break me. I have my own views to the situation as it is when it comes to LeBron and how he deals with the league. And we all say the same thing when we talk about LeBron, or what we would talk about Jordan. The difference between the two is mind-blowing. Like Dre said, Jordan cared only about the Chicago Bulls. LeBron cares about the whole league and making the league a better league than what it was when he came in. Right. So the respect that I have for LeBron is through the roof. That is a great Black man, and everything that he inspires and everything that he does as a person for his community, when I mean his community, I'm talking about the Black community. I'm talking about the sports community in general, the athletes and entertainment. Like, he cares. He genuinely cares, and he does the most. He goes above and beyond. So I can't I can't have a bad thought when it comes to LeBron, and that's just that. So I mean, take it for face value. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, again, players or athletes sticking up for, you know, for us and social issues been going on for quite some time. We go back to Bill Russell and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown. Well, they all had that meeting and everything like that. It was, you know, it's crazy. And to see that the same stuff that's going on back then, it's still going on now. And the fact that people have a problem with athletes standing up and talking about it, that's kind of the thing I'm concerned about. Because for you guys to have a problem with athletes standing up, not you, but for people to have a problem with athletes standing up, you're basically being like Laura Ingraham. Yes, I'm not going to forget this lady's name. You're not going to tell people to shut up and dribble. You're not going to tell people to shut up and run the ball. You're not going to tell people to shut up and hit the ball. You're not going to tell people to shut up and be athletes, because these people are people at the end of the day. Like, so the fact that some of us are upset that these players boycotted for 2 or 3 days and saying, oh, well, there wasn't an immediate change, so why did you protest? Why the fuck not? Like, why the fuck not? You have the option to protest and get your voice heard, then do it. But, like, we're not going to treat athletes like slaves. and make
I think people just rather us to sit in the crib and let shit happen to us and let it keep going on to us. We're not even safe in our own fucking house, in our own bed. So really. So I mean, like, let's just sit here and not do shit.
This is more impactful way of thinking than those jerseys, Black Lives Matter jerseys and Unity jerseys. This is more impactful than that.
Yeah.
This sends more of a message than a marketing scheme to me. You can't have Black Lives Matter on your court if you're not willing to do what it takes off the court.
Amen. Because if you're just sitting there wishing for change and not doing anything to be a part of it, then I'm not saying you're part of the problem, but you're not helping the solution. Well, then you're part of the problem. Compliance.
True. When you're silent in the face of adversity, you're just as bad, if not worse, than the oppressors. Let's be real here.
Mm-hmm. So, devil's advocate, real quick. Say I knew nothing. I said devil's advocate real quick. Because I saw her face. I saw her face. I'm asking. This is for, it's a general question. If I know nothing about the topic, right? Not as a Black person, not just as me, face value. As just a random person who knows nothing about the topic. How do I find out about the topic and how do I make my decision in terms of speaking up?
Everybody has a damn cell phone these days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you have an Obama phone, whether you have a Google phone, whether you have an iPad, whether you have a tablet, you can download Candy Crush.
Mm-hmm.
You can get on Google and find some resources. But you know the problem is people use Google in a skewed way to embolden their ignorance. You get what I'm saying? People have heard that Black Lives Matter doesn't mean it's Antifa, doesn't mean, and even though Antifa is not a real, Antifa is an ideology. And, oh my God. Sorry, somebody.
The damn Rough Riders outside shooting a video. Andrew, what's
up? Educate yourselves. And to be honest with you, you don't need Google to know that racism still exists.
Right.
When you go for jobs, racism exists.
Mm-hmm.
When you live in a certain neighborhood, you know what I'm saying, and your children in these public schools can't get decent books because of the way they live. Racism and inequality exists. It's at every point that you turn in your life. So to be honest with you, ignorance is just as deadly as violence.
Silence is worse than violence.
Ignorance is worse than violence because you know what it is and you choose not to see it anyway. You choose not to see it anyway because of ignorance. Black Lives Matter is not a political issue. You could be apolitical and still believe that Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
Black lives should matter. White lives have always mattered. And all lives will never matter until Black lives do. But at the end of the day, if you're somebody who does, it's because you don't want to know.
Yeah. There's
no excuse. You don't want to know. And for that, sit the fuck down somewhere. Read a book. Mm. Because ignorance and silence is worse than violence.
If I agree.
You see with your own two eyes that somebody being shot in the back by police is wrong, you get what I'm saying? Then there's no saving you. There's no Google. There's no nothing. If you can't see it.
If you don't see nothing wrong with a fucking cop sitting his knee on somebody's neck.
There's nothing that can make you. There's nothing that can. There's nothing I can do to change your mind.
Right.
Or a woman getting killed in her bedroom.
I don't want to hear, oh, he's this. I don't want to hear that. Because in the line of duty, when you are approaching someone, with ignorance. You're not approaching someone with their history. Because you don't know that then.
True.
So that's your prejudice that's taking over the situation.
True. I think
Donna in here. Hey, Donna.
Hey, Donna.
Hey, Donna.
We Shout out to Donna. Donna's amazing.
Yes, she is.
She's just an amazing person.
Yes, she is.
I wonder if she watches sport. We got to get her on the show one day.
Donna has helped me so many times.
She did. Me too.
Yeah.
We love you, Donna. We love you.
We love you, Donna. Yes. Yes. We need to get her a jacket too. We need to get Donna a jacket for sure. But again, shout out to everybody who are watching and again who are listening. This is we felt that, like, even though we did cover a little bit of sports, we felt that it was more important to cover this, you know, this topic, because people are being we don't want sports to be a distraction. And we don't want to become a distraction and try to gloss over everything that's going on. Like, that's not who we are. As a black podcast and part of an all-black network, it would be ignorant of us to not cover this. Like, that's how I felt. And I just think with everything that's going on, especially in 2020 in general, everyone needs to rally behind each other. Everybody needs to be more as a unit rather than be against each other, because, you know, life is really, really short, guys.
As we see.
In
general.
2020 is on some next shit.
Yeah. Yeah. This is like the wildest, craziest game of
you can see it. Whatever. You can see it all in our faces. If you're watching on live stream, I know this is it's a recorded podcast, but you can see it in our faces or see it on YouTube. It's not a joke. 2020 is winning a fight, boy, and it's like feel like I'm knocked to the ground and got hit by Tyson just now. That's how I feel.
What it's going to take in 2020 for people to wake up.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to take. You know?
Yeah.
Trayvon Martin was killed 8 years ago with an Arizona iced tea and a bag of Beatles. Breonna Taylor was killed in her home, in her sleep. George Floyd begged for them not to take his life, and they did anyway. This man was shot in his back 7 times. When are people going to wake up?
Yeah.
We should have been in Washington.
We should have been.
The only thing, like I said, I don't want no Rona.
Okay. Y'all be thinking about that Rona shit too. Like,
let's
maybe
be
that's
real
the way
here too.
In the house.
Let's educate ourselves. Stop going on these social medias talking about 5G is causing these diseases. Come on, guys. Let's be real here, okay?
Yeah.
If you're ignorant, it's because you're choosing to be ignorant.
And don't spread it to everybody else.
An opinion, no matter how much you dress up an opinion is never a fact. It's always and forever an opinion. Get it together.
Yeah, this is facts. Now, to backtrack a little bit about the Bucks being protesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know, but a few Bucks players have been through a lot of been through some racist and crazy stuff. Let's start with Sterling Brown. Sterling Brown, a couple of years ago when he wasn't too much known, he parked wrong, right? He ended up with the police sitting on his neck with a knee to the back of his neck for parking wrong. We just saw somebody die earlier this year for a police officer having his knee on his neck for damn near 9 minutes. John Henson, former player of the Bucks, got called. The police was called on him for being black, basically. He was shopping in a jewelry store, and a man who's made a couple million dollars in the NBA can't shop in a jewelry store without the police being called on him. Tabo Cephalosha, there was a situation at the club in NYC, and at the end of everything, the police basically broke his leg. Like, what? Like, what? Like, what's going on? Like, how? I don't understand. Why is it so hard for, especially when people, especially people who have some type of status, regardless, but that just goes to show, regardless of your status, if your color, if you got a darker skin color, your life is going to be a lot harder regardless.
The thing is, life is hard for everybody, right?
Yes.
Life is hard for everyone, but some people have the privilege of skin color not being an indicator of their struggle.
True. It's the truth. It's 100% the truth. I was explaining to someone a little while ago that I have a better chance. I have a smaller chance of getting home after maybe an interaction with the police than that person did because of my skin color. Why is that fair? If you can't understand, if you can't understand the fact that I'm a target as soon as I come out the womb, then again, you can't understand my struggle. You can never understand my struggle. But I do want to get through some of you guys' personal experiences with everything that's been going on in America, just being black in America. We all come from different spectrums. Tay, I'm gonna start with you again.
You always start with me.
Yeah, I have to start with you.
No, start with Matt.
Better leave her alone before she put a foot in your street. Falcon punch.
Matt, I'll start with you. What your experiences of just being black, a black man in America?
Honestly, because I fit all types of stereotypes, apparently. You know, black kid, wear urban outfits, do-rags, braids, all that. I'm always stopped. Whether it's me driving a good car and I get pulled over and it's like, oh, whose car is this? It's mine, sir. Or, you know, I'll give you one story in particular, and I might have been like in a really, really bad place when it happened. It actually happened like a couple months ago, you know, when I went to Georgia for my mom's thing. And we was just me, my sister, and my brother. We was crossing the street, and my little brother might have lagged a little bit behind us, and and a car was speeding, and he stopped drastically because he saw my brother. So, you know, the normal natural thing is my sister be like, "Yo, watch where you going." So the guy in the car goes, "Hands up, Black Lives Matter," right? It took everything in me not to go to jail right then and there. But it just shows that some people view our lives as a joke. Like the feelings, the emotions, the everyday life and struggle that we all go through, it's a joke to some people, and it's not a good feeling to know that people literally don't give a fuck whether you die or live. They don't care what you got going on. It hurts. And my earliest experiences to all of this is the age of 14. So I mean, here I am 31 years of age, and ain't nothing's changed since I was 14. It's not a good feeling.
It's not. And what is it like with you have two daughters and a son, having to raise your children and explain to your children what's going on, especially your 12-year-old, your son?
Well, he's kind of at the stage where he's just like playing video games all day, so he's not really outside as much. That's more or less a conversation that me and my wife have a lot of, because she thinks I'm hard on him, but more or less I'm being this way to him, not because, you know, it's the man thing to do, we got to toughen him up. No, I'm doing this to him because he has to learn restraint. He has to learn when to say when. And he has to understand that outside of this household, nobody's going to have you like your family's going
to
have you.
But you see, the sad part about it is only Black children have to feel like that.
I know.
They're not allowed to be children. And I'm not going to tell you how to parent. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I hear that from so many young men of color that, you know, my dad had to be tough on me because life is, you know, life's going to tap that ass.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's sad that you have to feel like you have to be tough on your boys because of
you
that.
You want to know something crazy? I feel like I got to be tough on my girls too, because it's just as hard as it is to be a Black man in this country and in this world. It's even worse to be a Black woman in this world. And I have two beautiful little girls, and it's like I want to just spoil them. I want to just, you know, be, you know, girl dad, you know.
You have to.
I do. It's like I'm in the middle with it. There's times where it's like it's times where I feel like I gotta be a little hard on them, because then they can't depend on nobody. They're not going to be able to depend on
nobody. Let me tell you why. My parents thought the same thing. You know what I'm saying? And it doesn't allow us to feel vulnerable in ourselves and in our Blackness if we feel like we have to have our guard up at every turn. And it starts at home.
Yeah.
Starts at home.
This is true. This is true. Tay, your experience.
Well, to quote Malcolm X, right? The most disrespected person in America is a Black woman. The most unprotected person in America is a Black woman. The most neglected person in America is a Black woman, right? That sums up my experience, right? Mm-hmm. Black women are the most educated group in America. Yet, we are paid much less. Yet, you know, we are always the ones on the front line of these causes, you know? And we are treated as if we are still the poster child of the welfare case. And that's not even the case. So me being Black, I never felt that being Black in America or being Black was a detriment. I always found it to be a privilege.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I grew up with very Afrocentric parents who taught me about slavery very young, who taught me about systemic racism very young. You know, I've experienced my first instance of racism at 7 years old. And I knew that I had to work twice as hard to get half as much. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Had I been any other demographic, I'd be a millionaire, given my pedigree, given my education, given my work experience. You know, for those of you who don't know, I have two master's degrees, one from NYU, one from Brooklyn College, and I have a graduate executive certificate from Columbia University, right? You would never know that. You know, I've worked on some of the biggest global campaigns in the world, biggest global campaigns ever, you know? And I still have had to change my name on resumes. I still have had to hear little passive aggressive racist comments. You know, you're cute for a Black girl. You know, your hair is nice for a Black girl because, you know, I have a little mixtures. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you're cute for a big girl. You're cute for this. You know, you only say that to Black women. You know, and the same energy we want to say towards the NBA, we got to keep that energy for the WNBA because they've been leading the charge for years.
Next.
You get what I'm saying? So I find being a Black woman as a privilege as much as a challenge, because I felt like God made me this way because I was strong enough to carry it. And then the burden stops with me. And I'm going to ensure that anybody who comes up under me isn't going to feel the way that I've felt in my life because of my race. You get what I'm saying? And I feel that, you know, at, like Matt, I have a daughter.
I know.
You know, I have a 12-year-old who, you know, I try to keep her childhood as much as a childhood as I possibly can. I don't want her to grow up too fast for a world that doesn't love her. That's the hardest thing. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. My daughter is, as you guys may know, my daughter is lighter than me. So she might not face the same, you know, skin issues, but underneath it all, she's still a black woman.
Yeah.
Her mother's a strong black woman.
Facts.
And that's what I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but that's what I actually did. No, I didn't. But I'm definitely gonna let you finish. Go ahead. I'll ask you because I still have it fresh in my head.
But I feel that it's difficult. There's been times where I've had decent experiences with police, and there was one time that the police banged on my door and threatened to take my food stamps away. And I never had food stamps or Medicaid or anything in my life.
There's nothing wrong with food stamps.
I'm just saying me in particular. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm waiting for my pandemic EBT, okay? But like,
they need food.
I don't know what made them think, because I'm from Brownsville, that they could speak to me that way. You get what I'm saying? And yeah. I love my ever loving mind.
But you didn't hit them, did you? Because you know
almost. Yeah. The whole precinct was outside my door. Damn. Because I carried on.
Oh, I thought you said you carried. I was about to say, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I had to show them my degrees. Like, this is how you talk to me? You don't know me. I said, I got more education than your captain.
Mm. Well, that's something crazy. I was driving in a car and got pulled over. You know, I'm normally me, scared as hell. Like, my hands is right here. To lean on the side, go, fuck are you stopping us for? Like, I was like, what are you doing? What is he stopping us for? I don't know. Well, why are you stopping us? And I'm like, would you stop or we both get shot in this car? What are you, like, the kids, what are you doing? I'm like this, she's talking mad shit, and the cop just let us go. I'm like, oh.
Because we're supposed to be fit. But no one's there to help us to catch us when we fall.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
I ain't gonna hold you. I thought I was gonna die that day.
Yeah, Dre, like, what question was that for me?
I was about your daughter. Yeah. You may have answered the question, but as your daughter being a lighter tone, you just said she's not gonna go through the same. She may not go through the same.
She already doesn't go through the same experience that I have. You know, she's already like two white for whites, two black for blacks, two white for blacks, two black for whites.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But like, teacher's pet, you know, good girl, smarter than me. And that's saying something. You know, and then black parents, you know, we have this bad thing, and I'm gonna send you the video.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody compliment our kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because of slavery, right? We still say, oh, he alright, she alright, she bad, take her. Other nationalities don't talk about their kids like that. And it's because we don't want our children to be taken away from us or anybody to oogle at our kids. So we don't say publicly, you know, this is the best part of my life. We say, oh, she bad as fuck. Oh, she's this. Oh, she's that. I'm going to show you a really insightful video about that, but that's after. That's for after. But yeah, my daughter's not going to have the same experiences that I have had. But I made sure from a very young age, she understood that she is black. She is to be proud to be black.
Mm-hmm.
And because she is black, you know what I'm saying? She is not going to feel any different. She went to a school where she was like the only black girl in her class.
Mm.
And I had to make sure that she didn't feel any way behind that.
Yeah, that's like we y'all children. Like I said, I don't have children, but I salute you guys for the way you guys raise your children, especially in a time like this.
Yeah,
because like I said, when we grew up, it was kind of shitty, but this is taking a cake, right? Like, and it's just. It's crazy what the kid, the generations after us will have to potentially go through because of, you know, just not life being fair, but the odds being stacked against us from the beginning. From the beginning to the part in the Constitution where basically when it comes to us voting, our vote counts as 1/8, something along those lines. Like, huh? So, again, it's a lot to deal with. And for me, to my experience of being a black man in the world, and when it comes to police and everything like that, it's two sides of the spectrum for me because I have family that's in the force that I know that are amazing people. I've also met amazing police officers. I'm friends with a lot of police officers. But I also have had instances that are not so friendly with the police officers. I give you one, which I'll give you a few of them, actually. My first one, one of the ones that stand out to me, I was on a train going to work, and this one I used to work for JetBlue. I used to have to be at work for 3:30, right? I was on a train. My bag was sitting next to me. Across from me, there was a white man with a bag, and his legs sat up on the train, right? We get to Rockaway Parkway, because I was on the A. We had to Rockaway. It's about to turn into to go towards Howard Beach. The train stops for a little bit, and there's a bunch of police officers on the platform. So instantly, I'm already on like high alert because I'm like, oh, there's too many police officers here. He come onto the train, and he's like, yo, you, get off the train. I'm like, who's he talking to? And he's pointing at you, get off the train. I'm like, why I have to get off the train? Oh, please get off the train before we make you get off the train. Okay. I get off the train. I ask him, why did you pull me off the train? Again, here's my ID and all this stuff. Well, you're not supposed to have your bag on the chair next to you.
Sounds weird.
You're not supposed to, because that's for people. And I looked on the train. I'm like, this train is empty. It's only but 6 of us in this car. And you're pulling me out. You're pulling me off the train. And the guy in front of me is asleep with bags and shit on across the way from me. He didn't have an answer. He didn't have an excuse. Bro gave me a ticket basically for being black sitting on the train.
Shit, I got a story for the 77th precinct, the 69th precinct, the 79th like, precinct.
I got picked. So one time, me and my boy Kwani, my boy Dante, who just came in. It's funny because I'm telling the story now because he's in this story. Me, my boy Kwani, Dante, with his name Daquan, and his other brother Trey. We were walking at night to go get some milk for my grandmother. There was an incident around the area with the police where somebody said people were stealing shoes and shit. That there was a factory around, which there's no factory around where I live at. I'm walking around to get milk. We're just having a good time singing, chilling. And they stop us. Hey, there was a robbery in the area. You guys fit the description. How do I fit the description? Oh, the four African American men, four to six African American or Hispanic men. Okay, yes, we were singing "Cupid Love." Yes,
Lord,
So we're walking, and he stops me. I'm like, he's like,
"What song is some... Even Stupid Love?"
Huh?
What song is that?
I'll send it to you guys after. So I have my basketball sneakers on. My mother just bought me these basketball sneakers. We're walking, and he's like, "Oh, there's some nice basketball sneakers you have on. Where did you get them?" I'm like, "My mother bought them for me." He was like, "Yes, your mother bought them from you?" "Yeah." He looks at his guys, cuff them. "What? Why are you arresting? Why are you detaining us?" "Oh, you got fit description, blah, 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 blah." It was crazy, and I think I almost got the police almost pulled out his gun on me because I kept asking, "Why are you pulling us over? Why are you pulling us over? Why are you putting us in the truck? We didn't do anything." And then one of us was like, "Yo, there's only four of us. These motherfuckers go and pick up two Spanish guys who were closing their sneaker store, and arrested them."
That's
and put them in a wagon with us. And then, which is crazier, they put us in the cell. They put us in a cell with the handcuffs on. There was two other people in the cell with no handcuffs on. So six of us in the cell with handcuffs on, and the other two people don't. And one of the guys has a sidekick. Here's how you know the police were just putting people away. This motherfucker had a sidekick in his pocket, was texting on his sidekick from the fucking cell. I can't make this shit up.
Hey. At least you have people in the holding cell with you. I'm always in there by myself. I don't understand how that happens. You ever been in a place by yourself for like 7 hours? Nobody to talk to? Boy, I hate doing push-ups and sit-ups. I damn sure was doing it that day.
Oh man, it's a lot. I mean, like in terms of job wise too, I believe there was a company who I will not name. I went to apply for, and I remember not getting the job because I didn't have quote unquote enough experience when I've had 4 years of experience of it already, and the person next to me got the job on the spot. White person.
See, I'm trying to niggle all this stuff. I got arrested for armed robbery. I didn't do. I had a basketball. I was playing basketball at fucking Fordham. Got home late because Fordham is in the fucking Bronx. Yeah. So got home late. Got arrested for armed robbery. I got arrested for assault that had nothing to do with me. The guy that they was actually looking for was actually 6 feet and change. And I ironically just had a tan hoodie. So I fit the description because I had a tan hoodie. Yeah. I got arrested for that. I got arrested for being 23 years old and somebody hopped in the train, and the dude thought it was me. Now, I'm sleep on the train because I'm just getting off of work. Mm-hmm. Don't do that, by the way. Don't ever fall asleep on the train. It's not good because shit happens to you.
Definitely but
yeah,
not.
Yeah. Got arrested, pulled off the fucking train, and they said that you were jumping carts. I said, one, I didn't even know you can get arrested for that. That's one. I never knew you can get arrested for that. I got arrested for that. I also got arrested for stealing, which I didn't steal. You would swear, with all the stuff that I actually really do, I never got caught, but I get caught for shit that I don't do.
Stop snitching on yourself.
Look, I'm 31 years old. I'm not a teenager anymore. You cannot get me for that shit. I'm just saying. It is what it is. But, and I will never say to people that, never mind, talk too much. That's it. Like, I'm not gonna say,
stop.
I used to be wilding when I was younger, and
really bad in high school. You have no idea.
I was terrible, but my school uniform always saved me.
We ain't had no school uniforms.
Had a school uniform. Yuck.
Oh yeah, I forgot you went to Nazareth.
I went to Nazareth, then I left Nazareth, not on my own. And then I went to my parents sent me to school in Bay Ridge. Mm-hmm. And then I graduated from Bishop Ford. But the Catholic school uniform always saved me because, you know, they figured I was one of the good ones. Yeah, you know?
I got picked up on my way to school one time. All the way to high school. The paddy wagon is sitting dead ass in front of the school. And they're like, oh, you're late. My first class ain't till 9 o'clock. What are you talking about? I'm late. Ah, you're late. Get in. No, I'm not getting in nowhere. So they was like, if you better get in, or we're going to make you get in. Of course. I'm like, y'all might just have to make me get in because I'm right in front of the school. Nah. And that was a whole big thing. And I,
you talking about Trudeci?
Yeah.
You remind me of my homegirl. We was walking and she was like, they stopped and they was trying to catch her. Mm-hmm. She's like, it's like, get in the car. It's like, my mom always told me not to talk strangers. She took the fuck off.
That's funny.
You know, I was that kid. I used to fight like hell, but I never cut school, none of that shit. I wasn't playing. Like, my parents were paying a lot of money for school, so I couldn't cut school like that. So it was like, you know, but I was a fighting bitch. Used to carry razor blades in my mouth.
You did say this. You did say this.
You know, but I just feel like we lived in it. Our parents prepared us for a world that doesn't even exist anymore.
I've said that before. Like, you're preparing us for a world that doesn't exist and not the current world because they don't know how to navigate through the current climate either.
I mean, a lot of our parents were the first generation post-civil rights.
Right.
So they were trying to find their identity at a time where, like the 70s and 80s, that, you know, people were still, you know, couldn't mm-hmm. go to Canarsie. You would chase out. My mom always tells me about the times where she was chased out of Canarsie, the neighborhood, with bats.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was in the 70s.
I've seen that happen in the 2000s where Jewish people were chasing black people out of their side of Crown Heights with bats. Mm-hmm. We saw it on the news at one point in time. They killed a young man, a young black guy with bats being in his neighborhood, wrong place, wrong time, which is not excusing nobody. It's not a wrong place, wrong time because we all live in the same area, but damn, bro, like, come on.
And I think that unity is really important. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't like to, you know, when I talk about being pro-black, I am never anti-white, anti-Hispanic, anti-anything. You get what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't have anything to do with other races because I embrace and accept all.
Right.
It's just that I wish that that same privilege was extended to me and mine.
Yeah. I agree. I wonder where Matt went.
I know, because I want to wrap this up.
Yeah, we were trying to.
My bad.
There we go.
Know how that go?
Yes, but yeah. As we do wrap this up, this was a very, very, very fun. Well, you know, the topic isn't the most fun to talk about, but this was still a fun episode for me. Not gonna lie to you. And I encourage other, like I said, I can't tell everybody what to do with their money, but I do encourage other shows, other black podcasts, other black shows to talk about the issues that's going on.
And shout out to Brett Savage, man. I really enjoyed your comments, and thank you for being a really good ally. And I have one last thing to say. Arrest the cops who murdered Breonna Taylor.
Yes.
Word.
Yes, definitely. Arrest the cops that murdered Breonna Taylor. Shit, arrest the cops that shot Jacob Blake 7 times in his back.
They still even got a job. That's the stupid shit. I don't understand. Then they heard you. Man, we don't even want to talk about it. But yeah,
princess.
Say hi.
Hey, little one.
She grumpy.
Mm-hmm. But Yeah, shouts to the shouts to everybody who's been in the comments rocking out with us. Yeah, in order for change to happen, we have to be part of it, and we have to push it. We have to continue pushing it, because change doesn't happen by sitting on the sidelines just watching at all. So,
and shout out to our parents who did the best they could in a world that didn't give a shit about
them. Oh man, bro, man.
Whoa, when you really think about that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, damn, like,
right. And a lot of the stuff, I can only imagine the stuff that my parents went through that they probably haven't told me, just in general.
Oh, I've heard stories.
Especially
my dad. I've heard stories.
Yeah, about my father, too. And me and him shared the same name, so which is even crazier.
Same here. Same
so
here.
It's a lot. But again, shout-outs to the Jabba Tiz Network.
Izzy.
Shout out to Izzy, who runs the Twitter. He's been doing a great job running the Jabba Tiz Twitter. I swear to God. Like he's been doing an amazing job. So shout outs to him.
And black people, stop thinking that the big sky daddy gonna save you from everything. You know what I'm saying? It's time to get
the big sky daddy.
Big sky daddy.
God, yeah, that's funny. That's so funny. I haven't heard that saying. In a little while though, actually, somebody saying "Sky Daddy," but yeah, we're gonna wrap it up here because people want to turn on the air conditioner and why I am recording. So,
I'm fasting. I need to break my fast.
So. Okay, do your thing. So, for BK Matt.
That's it.
What? We'll talk later.
For Queen Tay. It is your boy, Big Baby, signing off. Peace.